Christopher Kasdia has 20 years of experience in the investment industry and has served as the Chief Compliance Officer of Homrick Berg since 2008. Chris is also an elected official serving on the City Council of Woodstock, Georgia since 2006.
Thank you, Heather. And now let's meet our headliner, Christopher. Your contribution on one of our topics today is driving an effective compliance program. So we will lead into your first question would be, what is a compliance program?
Thank you. A compliance program is a system of processes designed to achieve compliance with a rule or a law. These processes can be automated or manual, but should generally be embedded in the normal business processes of a firm. For Homrick Berg, we are governed by the Advisors Act of 1940, but what I'm going to discuss can apply to any business with a regulator or government mandate. Now, each program will vary based on the profile and business model of a firm. However, there are key elements of an effective compliance program that will be consistent across all firms. What I'm going to discuss are the basic elements, but there can be many more depending on the size and scope of the business.
Thank you for that. And can you explain, Christopher, more about the elements of an effective compliance program?
Sure. The first element is a business review, followed by a risk assessment, followed by developing written procedures, then a communication plan, a training plan, testing, and the seventh element and final element is reporting.
And if that's the case, why is a culture of compliance so important, and how do you foster this culture?
Great question. I'm going to start with a discussion of the seven elements that I just mentioned. An effective program starts with a review of the business. We need for a chief compliance officer to have a thorough understanding of how the firm is structured, how does the business generate revenue and make profits, how are business development and sales efforts conducted, and what other efforts or departments are designed to support these revenue-generating activities. For a registered investment advisor, there is maintaining and further developing existing client relationships and marketing of advisory services. And the business units that support these revenue-generating activities are things like trading, investment management, research, financial planning, operations, and compliance. The next step is a risk assessment. Now, some people may refer to this as a risk inventory or conducting a risk matrix. But in preparing this risk assessment, we need to identify the risks present in a business unit. And when we identify these risks, we need to prioritize these as high, medium, or low. Now, once the risks have been identified and prioritized, we need to determine which controls are in place to mitigate these risks. And at this point, a decision should be made by the business leaders. If no control exists, we might want to focus on those first, or we may want to focus on the highest risk items first. That decision can be left to the chief compliance officer and business unit managers. But this risk assessment should definitely be done with other team members, usually starting with department managers or supervisors. It is very important to engage those closest to the front line so that a thorough risk inventory can be made. The next element is developing and maintaining written procedures. So after reviewing the business and conducting the risk assessment, It's time to develop new procedures or update current procedures. And when we do this, the procedures should be designed to first achieve compliance with the appropriate rule, and second, designed to detect and prevent violations. Just like the risk assessment, this should be done in conjunction with department managers or supervisors so that the most effective procedures can be drafted and implemented. When line supervisors have contributed to the finished product, there is generally immediate buy-in. And finally, these procedures should be vetted through senior management so that we can get sponsorship and support from the highest level. The next element to an effective program is the communication plan. Simply having thoughtful and well-drafted procedures is not enough. There must be an effective communication channel to broadcast compliance items such as new policies and procedures, compliance bulletins, or other relevant information. New procedures must have their own roadshow. And I get a chuckle internally from senior management when I talk about a roadshow for a new procedure. But all kidding aside, it's a must. A great way to promote a new procedure is through the annual compliance meeting. Now, normally in an annual compliance meeting, you're going to review current policies and procedures and discuss any new regulations that are present in the business. And this is a great time to preview and introduce any new policies and procedures that have been developed. Another great tool to broadcast new procedures are special purpose compliance meetings. Now, we conduct these at Heimrich Berg as single issue meetings and generally have them at the beginning of the day and serve breakfast so we get everybody to show up, and we discuss one compliance item and keep it short, 10 to 15 minute stops, and we found this is a great way to introduce a new topic. Now, the next element is training, and training goes hand in hand with communication. Once policies and procedures have been published, one-on-one or department-level training is the most effective method. This is an important step, as the communication plan is not enough. An effective program will have a training component. It's up to the CCO and the business managers to develop or determine the level of formality required, but as long as it's appropriate for the size and scope of your business model, then you're okay. The next element for a program is testing. And at this point, we've reviewed the business, we've analyzed the risks, we've developed or updated procedures, we've communicated these procedures, and we've trained the staff. Now we need to test the program to determine if the procedures are working. Our tests should be developed and conducted with two things in mind. First, did we follow our procedures? And second, did our procedures work effectively? The final key element to discuss today is reporting. Now, reporting to senior management is a big deal, and it's a key element to the success of a program. After we complete testing, a report should be prepared to describe the effectiveness of a program and to make any recommendations for the following year. This is an important element in getting and maintaining support and sponsorship from senior management. And this support and sponsorship is the main ingredient in creating and fostering a culture of compliance. And that culture of compliance is the glue that holds everything together. Now, you asked how to develop and foster that, and what is a culture of compliance? Well, the culture of compliance is living a core set of values that includes consistent and ethical decision-making and doing what is right every time. This culture begins with the firm leadership and lets everybody know this is how we operate. At times, you will hear regulators discuss the tone from the top, and this is what they mean. And when this culture, this core set of values and consistent ethical decision-making is present throughout the firm, then a compliance program becomes a highly effective compliance program. And this culture must be there, or else the program will not work as designed. Now, there are many ways to foster a culture of compliance. The main ingredient that I've found over the years is to get CEO support in a public manner. What I like to do during our annual compliance meeting is throw a question to our CEO and let him discuss a personal experience. It goes a long way in demonstrating the importance of the program. Another thing I do is send blast emails to all of our employees, and I will discuss a real-world example of certain SEC sanctions of other investment firms and how an element of our compliance program would have prevented this sanction from occurring. The important theme in fostering the culture is a public discussion of the importance of a culture of compliance.
Thank you very much, Christopher, for that in-depth summary of culture of compliance and how to create a program. Please highlight your thoughts, please.
Certainly. I discussed 7 key elements to an effective compliance program, which are the business review, the risk assessment, communication, developing procedures, testing, training, and reporting. These are all tangible elements that require input and a high level of engagement from a number of people within the firm. It's that final intangible element, the culture of compliance, that consistent ethical decision-making that makes it all work.